They make us believe the dandelion is just an annoying plant, because when we finally realize what the dandelion is and what it does for our bodies, it crumbles the system. I've learned from my bees that dandelions are essential to our entire system, the ecosystem. When you have these ginormous corporations who profit off of us being sick, do they want you to have free medicine growing in your yard? No, they don't. When you have a plant that can't be patented and grows freely, they cannot make money on that. They need to convince you to kill it and then buy their solutions. Once the story took hold, it shaped the way generations of people responded to it without ever questioning why. That's called brainwash. Hello and welcome back to the Gubba Homestead Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. I discuss everything from homesteading to prepping and everything in between. You know I love a good conspiracy theory. And today we are talking about the little yellow flower we were taught to hate. The dandelion. And before we get into that, I want to thank the sponsor of my podcast, which is my small skincare business, Arvati. It started with one tallow balm for my dad, who was suffering from eczema, and now I get to help thousands of people with their skin issues. So if you want to upgrade your skincare routine, you can check out my small batch made tallow balms, my cleansers, my serums, and my goat milk soap. I love what nature gives us. It truly is the best skincare, and in my opinion, the best medicine. Even that little yellow flower that is abundant in the spring in our yards that we are taught to hate. Newsflash, they make us believe the dandelion is just an annoying plant, because when we finally realize what the dandelion is and what it does for our bodies, it crumbles the system. Just a reminder, nature cannot be patented. There is something almost poetic about standing outside barefoot, especially barefoot, get your grounding in, but in your yard early in the morning, watching the light hit the grass full of dandelions as they're opening up to the sun. The sun truly is a source of life. And on my homestead, I've come to see these little yellow flowers differently than I was taught growing up to see them, because I remember as a kid being told they were weeds, something ugly for our lawns, something to pull out before they took over. And that reaction was never questioned. It was just accepted. It was passed down almost as common sense, like dandelions are bad. And yet the more time I've spent living closer to the land, growing my own food, raising animals, being outside barefoot, and paying attention to what actually thrives naturally, the more I've realized that what we were taught about dandelions does not quite add up, because when something grows this abundantly, this resiliently, and this consistently without any human intervention, you have to wonder if that plant was put there for a reason, and whether the problem is the plant itself or the way we've been conditioned in our brains to see it, and how Big Pharma has somehow gotten its dirty little hands in the field to tear this free medicinal plant away from us through that conditioning and brainwash. Something you have to understand, or I have really truly come to understand, and I touched on this a bit in my previous episode, my reintroduction, but since we were little, I mean, even just fresh out of the womb, we have this conditioning and this brainwash going on. And so something as simple as being taught to view this plant that grows literally free for us as bad is part of that overall conditioning. Again, and I'm going to keep saying this, nature cannot be patented. So when you have these ginormous corporations who profit off of us being sick, okay, think about that. They profit off of the population being sick. Do they want you to have free medicine growing in your yard? No, they don't. I've also talked about this with flea and tick medication, heartworm medication, for our animals. There are other natural alternatives that you can do, and I do on my homestead for my animals that, again, they come from nature. They can't be patented. I talk a lot about garlic for dogs, and people get into an uproar because of a skewed study from, 26 years ago now. But yes, I use garlic for pest maintenance for my dogs. And I talk about that more in depth on another episode that you can check out. It'll be in the show notes for you. That is one of the most common questions I get asked is, hey, I saw that video where you talk about pest maintenance for your dogs. Could you please share more? So I did a whole episode for you because it really is amazing when we start to see the world around us and how nature provides for us and how Big Pharma does not want us to see that. And that's where that conditioning and brainwash comes in. And when you start digging into the history, you quickly realize that dandelions did not just randomly show up and start invading our lawns. Back in the day, our ancestors, they truly understood their value, not just as food, but as medicine. I feel like our ancestors had this connection to the land, connection to medicine, connection to bodies. And through the last century, we've really been disconnected from that. We've been disconnected from our food, medicine, our bodies. Literally anything the system can do to disconnect you from yourself, it will. And if you think about lawns, like, they are so useless. What is the point of having a lawn that is just grass that grows that you then have to go spend time to maintain? You do not get anything out of it besides it looks good and it gets an HOA approval depending on where you live. It's literally one of the most pointless things. It's a huge time suck. I think they're just a ginormous psyop, and we need to start bringing back food gardens. We need to bring back those victory gardens. We need to get some chickens on that grass, and we need to figure out something else besides just this dead landscape of lawns. Do you really think our ancestors were just going to have empty landscape of lawns? I do not think so. Maybe the super rich and elite who had the big sprawling fields of yards and courtyards that they hired people to maintain. Yes, possibly. But the average person was going to be growing their garden. They were going to be making use of any land and space that they had. On my homestead, I am constantly going back to self-sufficiency and trying to bring back in these roots from my ancestor and figuring out what works for me. And again, what works for me and my medicine and my food and my setup may not work for you, but you can homestead from anywhere. So even if you don't have a sprawling lawn and you're in an apartment, you can still homestead. You can start cooking from scratch. You can grow plants on your front porch. You can even grow plants in your windowsill. You can look into hydroponics. There are so many things that you can do. With the dandelion, I have come to realize how essential they are. And my bees, so I am a beekeeper. I keep 4 hives, and I've been doing this. This will be my 5th year of beekeeping, and I've learned so many lessons from my bees. And I would say one of the biggest lessons I've learned from my bees is that dandelions are essential to our entire system, the ecosystem, how food works. Dandelions are a core part, and they want us to forget that. And not only do they want us to forget that, they want us to poison the dandelions. But we will get to that. Our ancestors truly once considered the dandelion essential. The leaves were often eaten as greens, more nutrient dense than anything you could find at the grocery store, if there were grocery stores at that time. The roots were dried and brewed into tonics for liver health and digestion, and the flowers were used in ways that nourish both the body and the skin. How amazing is that? So there is no separation between food and medicine, and there was certainly no idea that this plant needed to be taken out. It was simply just a part of life, a part of the land, a part of their homestead, a part of the rhythm that our ancestors trusted. And again, now that I keep bees, I see these dandelions as this integral part of their food supply, especially when they're coming out of winter. And we wonder why the bees are disappearing when we poison one of their first foods. Like, really? We're going to sit and wonder about that? I find it so insane that we have been taught it is okay to spray this poison all over our yards. For what? To have those pretty lawns, just a barren wasteland of green, providing no food, no shelter. It's useless, really. When you slow down and look at the dandelion through just even a homestead lens, not as a weed, but as a provision, it starts to feel a lot less like a random plant and more like a complete self-contained medicine cabinet that has been sitting in plain sight this entire time. And the best part is it's free. This all ties back again into the system where they profit on us being sick. And if you have access to free medicine that is going to help your body, you're getting out there barefoot. You're getting out in the sunshine, which is another medicine. You're getting out. When I say barefoot, you're grounding with the earth. It's helping you detox. This is all part of that free medicine, just in my experience, right? All these things that make me feel absolutely amazing day in and day out. They do not want you to have that because they lose profits. So let's break the dandelion down, because every part of the dandelion serves a purpose and it is edible. What makes the dandelion so unique is that every part of the dandelion serves a purpose, and not in a minor way, but in a deeply supportive, whole body kind of way that aligns again with how our ancestors approached health, which was never about isolating one compound or one symptom, but about nourishing symptoms, nourishing our body, and connecting back to nature and allowing the body to do what it was designed to do. So the leaves, the roots, and the flowers each bring something different to the table, literally. And when you begin to understand how they work together, you start to see why this plant was once considered essential rather than expendable. And think about how our bodies are waking up out of the winter slumber and that need for recalibration. So is it a coincidence that dandelions are popping up at that time? I think not. Nature does not have these coincidences. So starting with the leaves, which are often the most overlooked, I would say, because of their slightly bitter taste, you're actually looking at one of the most nutrient-dense greens you can put into your body, especially when they're harvested young. So in the beginning of the season, and they're tender in that early spring. On my homestead, I've come to appreciate the bitterness that the leaves have because it signals something important to my body, which is that these leaves, they stimulate digestion in a way that modern diets often lack. If you think of the modern and standard diet right now, the most common diet is the ultra processed slop goo that you're getting at the store. Mystery ingredients, artificial flavors. I mean, some of the things that I have read that go into our food, it is so disturbing. And that ties back into that disconnect. If the system can disconnect us from our food, you know, the literal thing that is nourishing our body, how easy would it be then to make the population sick? Super easy, because we don't know what's going into our food. We don't know how it's being cared for. We don't know where it's coming from. We don't know how it's made. Like, that is the norm. And even just saying this right now to you, my mind is still blown, okay? And I've had a few years to process this, go down the rabbit holes, whatever I've had to do, and it's still crazy. I'm talking to you about this, and it just, I can't even believe we were at this point, and it only took a century. It only took about 100 years to disconnect us. So it's amazing to think that something as little as the dandelion, this little tiny flower that grows in our yard, can help us reconnect to ourselves, reconnect to our food, reconnect to our surroundings. Because back to the leaves, they help encourage that bile flow, which then helps your body break down fats more efficiently and supports the liver in doing its job of filtering and processing what comes in. So beyond that, the leaves are also rich in vitamins A, C, and K, along with minerals like calcium and potassium. And unlike synthetic diuretics that can strip the body of essential nutrients, dandelion leaves act as a natural diuretic while still replenishing potassium, which makes them incredibly supportive for reducing water retention without creating imbalance. And they're the kind of food that doesn't just fill you up, but actually helps your body function better. Again, back to the modern food climate that we live in, do you really think that the rainbow colored fortified cereal or the 30 plus ingredient chips are going to help our body function better? No, it is going to put tremendous stress onto our bodies when we are literally eating poison. That's what I look when I go to the grocery store and I go down those aisles lined with all the different colors of the chips and the packages and the children's cereals. I do not see food. I see chemical sludge. Just look at the ingredients. That's really what it is. That stuff is not going to help your body function better. And the whole thing is we want to come back. We want to reconnect with our bodies because over the past 100 years, the system has worked tirelessly to disconnect us from our bodies, our food, everything I keep saying to you. I just want you to see this disconnect because they profit on that disconnect. And so coming back into our body, it's saying, hey, what is going to help my body function better? What's going to help me, you know, feel better? Wow, the sunlight in the morning feels so good. Wow, after I walk around barefoot outside, I sleep better, which I do. I sleep so good come spring when I'm barefoot outside all the time. It's a huge noticeable difference in my sleep. Again, what works for me may not work for you, and that is okay. And back to the dandelion, which I consider more of a real food than anything you're going to find in the processed food aisle. When you move down to the root, which is where things start to get even more interesting, because this is part of the plant that has been traditionally used for deeper, more targeted bodily support, especially when it comes to the liver and overall detoxification pathways. The root works in a way that feels very aligned with how the body naturally processes waste. So it gently encourages the liver to produce more bile and helping move toxins out rather than allowing them to recirculate. So on a deeper level, the dandelion root contains compounds like inulin, which acts as a prebiotic, feeding the beneficial bacteria in your gut and supporting a healthier gut microbiome overall. And when your gut is supported, everything tends to follow, from your immune system to your energy levels to even the way your skin looks and feels. And if you think about our current environment is totally overwhelmed with toxins. So we need to be supporting those detox pathways, which is getting out in the sun, which is walking out barefoot, which is getting that good diet. If you are not supporting your detox pathways, like these things are just going to accumulate and you're not going to feel good. You're not going to look good. I think it is absolutely amazing that there's just this tiny little plant that is like, hey, pick me. I'm growing free for you. I want to help you. I know that the soil needs help, so I'm helping loosen up the soil and bring nutrients up into your soil. But I can also help your body personally, and I'm here for you during this season. And I especially love the root when it's roasted and you can brew it into this warm, earthy tea, because it helps connect you back to that slower, more intentional way of nourishing the body. I make dandelion root tea every spring. And it's something that I feel helps just build the resilience. And I love, love, love that tea. Even though it is bitter, I do add honey from my bees. So the bees go and forage on my dandelions in the spring. And then I make that dandelion root tea and then add in honey that they made from the previous season. So it's really neat to think about how all these things come together. They are feeding the bees then feed me, the dandelions are always feeding me. They are such an underrated plant. And I think it is just a crime against humanity that they have convinced us that the dandelion is just an obnoxious weed that needs to be torn out. And I keep saying that because I want to remind you, do not spray your dandelions. Don't even think about spraying your dandelions. When you go to the store and you see that toxic spray, don't even let the thought creep into your mind that you are going to take that and put that on your yard, because that is a terrible idea. You need to take off the brainwash. You need to go get a hose. Hose off your brain if you're thinking that, and just get off that brainwash. You need to step outside of that conditioning, because something as small as the dandelion is so powerful. And then you have the flowers, which are often the most recognizable part of the plant. You know, that beautiful yellow bloom that seems to just capture the energy of the sun itself. The flowers carry their own benefits. Gosh, this plant is amazing. If you're not listening and thinking, wow, the dandelion is amazing, I don't know what to tell you. But the flowers are filled with antioxidants that help combat the oxidative stress going on in our body, and they support overall our cellular health. So they've been used traditionally in oils and salves for skin, offering that soothing and nourishing type properties that align so well with a natural skincare approach. Something I am very passionate about here on my homestead, because there's something just incredibly beautiful about taking a flower that most people would spray without a second thought and turning it into something that supports your skin barrier, that brings that moisture and that calmness back to irritated or dry areas. And that works with your body rather than against it. So even internally, the flowers can be used in teas, or they can be fermented. They can bring in this gentle, uplifting quality that complements the deeper, more grounding support of the root in the leaves. So I love to make dandelion flower jelly, and it turns into this beautiful jelly that tastes like honey. And when you step back and just look at all of this together, it becomes harder to see the dandelion as anything other than intentional, because it offers support across multiple systems in a way that feels complete. Dandelions support digestion, fluid balance, gut health, and even the skin. So just think about that, all from a plant that requires no planting, no maintenance, no purchase. It grows abundantly. And from my homestead perspective, that's something worth paying attention to, because it challenges the idea that health has to come from something complicated or external, something that grows right under your feet, quietly, just doing its job, waiting for you to recognize it. And when you have a plant that can't be patented and grows freely, they cannot make money on that. They need to convince you to kill it, to poison your surroundings, and then buy their solutions to your health problems. It's really just a sick system that we live in. But once you see it, and that's why I keep repeating it, because I want you to see it, you can then step away from it. And I am so grateful, because I've been able to just step away from it and gain a different lens of how our system works and how I want to operate. And somewhere along the way, that relationship changed with our landscape. And it didn't, again, it didn't happen randomly. As society moved further and further away from the land and deeper into industrial systems, the way we viewed nature started to shift from something we worked with to something we controlled. Lawns became a symbol of order, of neatness, of status. I kind of touched on that. And suddenly anything that disrupted that perfect uniform green became undesirable. And don't even get me started on HOAs that demand perfect lawns. I would never live in an HOA. They will have your lawn dandelion free or you get a fine. It's so ridiculous. I would never again live in an HOA. So dandelions with their bright yellow blooms and their refusal to stay confined become one of the most visible targets. And over time, they were rebranded, not again as beneficial, not as nourishing, but as invasive and messy and something that needed to just be eliminated. And that makes me so sad. And when you just sit with that, it's interesting because the plant itself did not change. Its properties did not change. Its health benefits didn't disappear, but the story around the dandelion did. And once the story took hold, it shaped the way generations of people responded to it without ever questioning why. Like, why do I hate this plant? Why do I view it as a nuisance? I'm not even going to ask if it has any medicinal properties. And once something is labeled as a problem, the next step is always a solution. And this is where things start to get a little more layered, if you will. Big pharma companies like Bayer now own Roundup. They stepped into that space with products designed to eliminate the food and medicine in our yards, the weeds. Roundup became one of the most widely used herbicides in the world, marketed as an easy, effective way to maintain that perfect lawn, to get rid of the weeds, to restore control. And on the surface, it makes sense because if you've been told something is a problem, of course you're going to look for a way to fix it. But what often doesn't get talked about is what these solutions actually do, not just to the plants they're designed to kill, but to the soil, to the environment, and potentially even to the people who are using these products. I still remember my dad masking up to spray dandelions in our yard growing up, and now how does that make any sense? He does not do that anymore, but that's what he had been taught. And I didn't know any different. It was just like, oh yeah, dad's going out to take care of the lawn. But trust me, we have had a very lengthy conversation and he can't believe he did that either. So when you start to learn these things, it's great to pass on that information. It's great to talk to your parents, your siblings, your friends and say, hey, don't spray. Have you read the warnings on that label? Let's look at the dandelion and what benefits it has for you. You could be saving a life and you could be helping better a life when someone learns about the medicinal properties and everything the dandelion does for us. And when you start looking deeper into glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, I know they have some formula changes too, you begin to see that it's not just a simple isolated solution. Glyphosate works by disrupting a plant's biological processes, essentially shutting down its ability to function. But the concern is that it doesn't just stop there. There is growing conversation about how it interacts with the broader ecosystem. To me, I feel like it's really obvious, but including the soil health, microbial health, which are foundational to everything we grow and consume. So there has been these ongoing discussions about its potential impact on the human body, particularly in relation to the gut, where so much of our immune system and overall health is rooted. And then there are the legal cases, the settlements, the individuals who have come forward claiming that long-term exposure has led to serious health issues, which raises questions that go beyond just whether it works as a weed killer and into whether it's something we should not be using casually. If you're going to ask me, I don't think we should be using it at all. I feel like these conversations are kind of just a waste of air and breath because it's very obvious what is going on. But when you have these corporations with endless funnels of money, these conversations are going to go on forever. Well, I don't know. It could be the glyphosate. It could be, you know, something. We got to go to court and pull all these reports. And years and years and years are spent in the court system. And by the time everything comes out, they've already developed a new product. They are fine getting rid of that product. And then it's just the same process that is repeated. We see that with sunscreen. You can look at the history of sunscreen and their chemicals, but I have another episode on sunscreen, and that topic got me into a lot of trouble a few years ago. But that is what they do. They tie these things up in court. The stuff doesn't quite come out. People are getting sick in the meantime. And then when it finally comes out, they're like, okay, we won't use the glyphosate anymore. We have this great other chemical that we're going to put out there. It's so horrible. It is literally so, it's another crime against humanity that they can do this to us. I watch my bees, okay? And they are all over the dandelions in the spring. So here, is it really a surprise that the bee population is in rapid decline when we are spraying their food, the dandelion, with poison? I don't think so. When you zoom out and look at the bigger picture, it starts to feel less like a series of isolated decisions and more like a pattern. On one side, you have a plant that grows freely, that offers this nourishment that supports the body and the soil without requiring anything from us other than just recognition. And on the other side, you have an entire system built around removing that plant and replacing it with products, whether that's herbicides to kill it, fertilizers to repair what's been disrupted, or then medicines to replace the natural free medicine growing in your yard, the dandelion. And I'm not saying you have to believe there's some grand coordinated plan behind all this, even though, you know, when you start to recognize patterns, it kind of looks that way. It's also hard to ignore the way the incentives line up. When you follow the money, you start to find the agendas. And what fascinates me most, though, is not just the system itself, but how deeply this perception of the dandelion has been ingrained. Most people don't question why they see dandelions as weeds, right? They just do. It's automatic. You see one pop up in your yard and the first thought is, I need to get rid of that. Not to ask what it might be doing there or what it might offer to you or the soil. And that reaction, it's so crazy. It's just been shaped over years of messaging, of cultural norms, of being shown what is quote unquote good and what is, you know, bad in the context of our environment. And when you start to peel that back, when you start to question even something as simple as the dandelion, it opens the door to seeing other things differently too, because you realize how much of what we accept as normal is actually something we've been taught, not something we have discovered for ourselves. That's called conditioning. That's called brainwash. Living this way has changed how I look at everything, including something as simple as the dandelion. I don't see something to spray. I see a plant doing a job, breaking up the soil, pulling nutrients from deep underground, feeding pollinators, my bees, and offering nourishment if I choose to use it. I see something that does not need to be planted. It doesn't need to be fertilized. It doesn't need to be purchased. And yet it just shows up exactly where it's needed. Nature is amazing. And when you start to see it that way, it becomes a lot harder to justify reaching for a chemical to get rid of it, especially when you consider what you might be trading in the process of doing so. And this is where the conversation naturally leans into something I love, a conspiracy. So what if the things we've been taught to remove are actually the things we should be paying attention to? What if the narrative around dandelions and plants like them serves a purpose beyond just aesthetics? And what if the shift away from natural self-sustaining solutions and toward controlled purchased ones isn't as accidental as it seems? You don't have to have land to have an answer to that. But once you start asking these questions, it changes the way, again, how you move through the world, the way you look at your land, your yard, the way that you make decisions about what you bring into your home, the food, medicine, whatever. think about how a problem is created and then how they serve you a solution on a silver platter. And at the end of the day, the dandelion is still there. It's growing, whether we acknowledge or not. Hopefully, after listening to everything I have had to say about the dandelion, one of the most amazing, free, abundant plants that is there for us, you don't have to question it. You just now know, and you're going to go and share that knowledge so we don't have generations to come that are poisoning the ground, which then poisons, you know, us and the air and the animals. It's this whole toxic cycle. The change can start with us. And maybe that's the most grounding part of all this, because it reminds us that not everything has been lost. Not everything has been replaced, and not everything needs to be bought in order to be valuable. And that change can really start with us in our homes. So sometimes this shift is as simple as seeing something clearly for the first time. If this is your first time waking up to something and starting to question, that's great. Now take that energy and start questioning everything. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. I think we should all choose not to spray. I think we should choose to observe, to learn, to reconnect with something that has always been there. And once you make that shift, even in just the small way, like I'm saying, it has this ripple effect in your life. It's just no longer about dandelions. It's about now your food. It's about how you see the world, how you question what you've been told, how you choose to live moving forward. I have whole podcast episodes about, you know, dinosaurs. That's something that we grew up. And I never questioned dinosaurs for a long time until I started looking into it. And I was like, wait, that doesn't actually make sense. I actually used to love to go fossil hunting. And there was one time that I got to stand next to a supposed Triceratops head. I have other podcast episodes that dive into different conspiracies, diving into topics of things that we have been told since we were little. For example, I have a podcast episode talking about dinosaurs versus dragons. Dinosaurs is something we've been taught since we were little, and I never questioned it. I think it is so important. If you're going to take anything away from this, you know, we talked about the dandelions and the bees and the benefits of the dandelion and everything it does for us. If you're going to take one thing away, is that it is okay to ask questions. Even something as small as the dandelion, soon you'll be asking questions about bigger topics, which I have covered a variety of different topics in my podcast episodes, which you can check out. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you being here, spending your time with me. As you can tell, I am so passionate about the dandelion. They are starting to pop up. Different plants around my homestead are starting to pop up. I have my orchard, which is starting to blossom out. My bees are starting to become more and more active. So watching this life come together really puts things into perspective for me. So I hope I'm able to share that experience with you so you can carry that over into your life wherever you are at. And if you are interested in trying something all natural for your skincare, you can check out, again, my small batch made skincare products like tallow. I have oil cleansers, my goat milk soap at arvati.com. And again, I just want to say thank you so much, and I will see you next time. Bye.